You're listening to the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now here's Frank and Martin on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
We are back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano, Martin Kilcoin, Westminster Christian Academy, 997-2900, WCASTL.org. If you're looking for a place for son or daughter entering 7th or 9th grade, we recommend a trip to Westminster. You can get a shadowing procedure done where you hang out with a student and you see this beautiful campus, you meet the beautiful teachers. We're so thrilled that our youngest is about to graduate from there and has had the benefit of dealing with some really quality first-class teachers. No doubt about it, Westminster Christian Academy, one of the best schools in town, 997-2900. What appears the Orioles want ready talent, Major League ready talent, and the Cardinals certainly have some, and Piscotty and Randall Grichuk. I don't want to give up Paul DeJong in this thing, though, do you? Gosh, I'd hate to do that.
Well, the trick with Machado is to, what are you getting? And you can't just say, like, with Roland or McGuire, well, once he gets here, we know he won't want to leave. Well, yeah. That's sort of worn off. We've seen that in recent years. So are you getting a guy for 1 year and you're just crossing your fingers? Or do you have the chance to talk to him and try and cut the deal ahead of time? And if so, then the price tag would go way up. It is a big-time gamble. I think I'd give up DeJong if I thought I could keep Machado. And I don't know how you could gauge that ahead of time. But obviously that's the news of the day, the baseball winter meetings, that Machado is being shopped by the Orioles. It makes sense for them. I mean, if he's going to walk a year from now and you get nothing for him, or at the trade deadline and you're kind of under the gun, everybody knows you need to deal him, it makes total sense for them, I think, to try and trade him right now.
Yeah, let's give up some of those outfielders. And not Paul DeJong, though.
Right. If I could avoid it, I would.
All right. Let's welcome to the program. He joins us every Tuesday in the 11 o'clock hour. He is Dr. Rick Lehman. Dr. Rick, good to be with you. How are you?
Gentlemen, I'm good. How are you guys?
Everything is well. Much to discuss today, including a list out about drinks you should have and drinks you should avoid. What's jumping out at you on that list?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is if energy drinks are bad, and I think that's always been the case, but I think the research just gets worse and worse and worse for energy drinks. They cause hypertension, they have some bad things in them, they cause sludging of your blood, so there's a number of reasons not to drink energy drinks, and that could be Red Bull, Monster, I mean, you guys know the drink, everybody, listeners all know the drinks, and good things to drink probably are coffee, and that's gone back and forth in the medical literature. Some people for years have said coffee's terrible for you, and people said coffee's a benefit, and iced coffee, hot coffee, coffees are very good for you. Water's very good for you. Fruit juices, which would seem to be good, are good if they're made from fruit. So beet juice, carrot juice, doesn't taste that great, but probably very good for you. Juice drinks from a carton that have a lot of sugar in them are bad for you. And, of course, water is very good for you. So the take-home messages, I think, are you want to try to drink, stay away from energy drinks, drink as much water as you can. You can drink sparkling water. That's fine. Coffee is good. And anything that's got tons of sugar in it, you probably want to stay away from.
Does it matter that it's kids, for the most part, or younger people that are drinking the Monster drinks or the, you know, those energy drinks? Is it okay? Is it not that it's okay for them, but is it better that they're doing it than me and Frank?
Absolutely. So the older you are, the more you're going to have a response, hypertension, and issues with blood sludging. So as you get older, you probably really want to stay away from those drinks. But when you're young, certainly you can tolerate that stuff a lot better. And, you know, I see kids drinking 2-3 Red Bulls a day. I got athletes that come in, and they got a giant sippy cup thing full of Red Bull, maybe 32 ounces, and they drink it. Probably doesn't really bother them that much. As you get older, it's going to have much more of an effect, and you probably don't want to be drinking it.
And you mentioned coffee. I thought caffeine was always on the bad list when it came to medical reports.
You know, that's right. I mean, it's gone back and forth. So initially, caffeine was terrible. Then they said, well, coffee and caffeine have a pretty significant hedge against pancreatic cancers and certain cancers, which is still the case. Also helps you if you're pre-diabetic. So the scales have definitely tilted towards caffeine and coffee being much better for you, and chocolate. Same thing. You know, it used to be terrible, gave you pimples, it was terrible for you. Now we see that it's cardioprotective and it's very good for you. So coffee, not a bad thing. Caffeine, not a bad thing. Now, I wouldn't tell you to drink 10 cups of coffee a day or to drink coffee and then take a bunch of no-dos because that's probably too much caffeine. But in general, I think the coffee's fine.
The glass of red wine before you go to bed at night, is that fact or fiction? Is that a good thing?
Well, you know, it's gone back and forth. It used to be terrible, and then it was great. And now I think everybody's on the fence. I think it's probably relaxing. I think it's good to have one drink at night, two drinks at night. It relaxes you, brings your blood pressure down, calms your mind a little bit. In terms of the cardioprotective effect, meaning is it going to stop you from having a heart attack? Probably not. But still, I think that's in the positive column.
Well, you don't know how good Martin feels right now when you just said it's good to have one or two drinks a night.
He went with one drink a night, and then he said, or two drinks a night. And then
well,
we're like, keep going,
up.
Keep going. Well, wine, that's the key, Frank. A little, maybe, are you sticking with, Frank's been on this kick, okay, what is it, only almonds after 7?
Yes.
That is huge. That, you know, if you can do that, that's probably one of the healthiest possible things you can do. First of all, nuts. There's all these studies that show people with this diet and nuts. If you eat this and you have nuts, you know, looking at heart disease, looking at diabetes, looking at all these factors, cholesterol, and nuts win in every war. So if you can eat almonds after 7 and that's, you know, and you're not going to eat a bunch of carbs, you have hit a home run. Now, nuts during the day are equally as good, but you should probably not try to eat any carbs after 6-7 o'clock. That's probably a huge plus. And almonds are great nuts to eat. Cashews are great nuts to eat. And if you can do that instead of eating, you know, popcorn or a bunch of ice cream or, you know, some Magna bars or something, you're in the plus column.
I want to follow Dr. Rick around one day, like undercover. I don't want you to know I'm following you. Then Frank and I are in the car. We got the camera. You're pulling into Carl's. You're having a double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the key is you can do that every once in a while, right?
Well, sure. I mean, you can do anything on a limited basis. So people say, oh, you know, can you eat this? Can you eat that? Well, should you eat red meat every night? Probably not. Is it okay to have a steak once or twice a week? Of course it is. So anything you're going to eat in moderation is not going to hurt you. And it's the same principle. If every once in a while you want to have ice cream at 11 at night or 1 in the morning when you're watching a rerun of a Cardinal game or something, yeah, go ahead and do it. It just shouldn't be a nightly thing. And most people, if you track people, eat most of their calories after 7 o'clock, not before 7 o'clock. So they have a little breakfast, they have kind of a lunch, and then they have a pretty good-sized dinner, and then they keep eating all night. So that's the American diet, and that's the problem.
Monique read something the other day that walking vigorously on a treadmill for 40 minutes is almost as good as running on a treadmill. Any take on that?
Well, I think that's wrong. I think it's every bit as good. You know, I think walking vigorously on a treadmill or walking vigorously around your block or at the mall or wherever is every bit as good as running. So and the literature would tell you that for sure. So if you can walk 40 minutes 3 times a day on a treadmill at a reasonable pace, 4, 3.5, 4, that's every bit as good as trying to run a couple miles. No question about it.
All right, so Dr. Rick, you're around the game of hockey, the NHL level, as a surgeon, as an owner. Talk to us about the skate. And I heard Doug Vaughn say this yesterday. We've got players getting hit in the skate all the time. How is it they haven't been able to develop the technology to protect the ankle better? Because these guys are seeing pucks flying through the air every single game. You would think at this point there'd be more technology to protect the ankle.
Well, you know, there is, and the players don't want to wear it. So there's two things going on here. One thing going on here is we can definitely make this. So if you're into hockey, and you guys are definitely into hockey, guy gets a skate, they want to make the skate as light as they can. They take the middle, the stuff out of the skate, and they don't really want the weight of the skate. And they wear skates that are 2 and 3 sizes too small, and their feet get smashed into these things, and that gives them this proprioception, this protection. Now, you come up with a special skate that's got extra padding that's a little higher to protect the ankle. What do you think 9 out of 10 hockey players are going to say other than the goalie? Forget it. I don't want to wear it. So there are things out there to wear, but they're heavy. There's a light Kevlar shielding that goes around some of the skates. The players won't wear them, and it doesn't give them the flexibility to push off and go front to back. So that's really been the biggest concern. So you're 100% right, but the technology, it's sort of like if we made a very, very stable track shoe, I couldn't get any of my athletes to wear it. They'd say, this is so heavy, you know, how could I ever run a meaningful 100 in this thing? And it's the same, even though they might have plantar fasciitis or this or that. So I think the technology's out there. It's impossible to get the kids to wear it.
You hearing anything from any of your medical friends in Columbia, Missouri, although they may not be directly involved with Michael Porter because he went to Dallas for the surgery, but if you had to guess, you don't think he's going to play in a couple of weeks or less than 2 weeks away now in the bragging rights game, do you?
I don't, but I think he'll be back in the next 4 weeks, and that's more than just a guess.
Oh.
I like that. More than just a guess, which would also be a great hit song, but more than just a guess. So what did he say? Less than, Frank, I'm trying to pin that down. Here we are. What is that? I don't even know what day it is. It's December 12th, so probably very early in their conference schedule.
I would say that's probably correct.
All right, a couple of quick texts from our listeners. Is light beer truly better than the regular? Should I switch from Budweiser's to Michelob Ultra? Grimy from South County.
Not unless you have a weight problem. It's not any better. You know, it's fewer calories. Basically, light beer is just watered-down regular beer. I mean, everyone knows that. So unless you have a weight problem, no, I wouldn't switch.
Ulysses S. Grant, how about pistachios?
Excellent. Best thing you could do.
What about 5-Hour Energy from Beer Cats?
Well,
a guy named Beer Cats is asking health questions.
We just talked about that a little bit. 5-Hour Energy goes right under Monster. So if you're young and you're healthy and you're having trouble at 3 o'clock and the pencils are flying all around like the commercial, you could probably do a 5-Hour Energy. It's not going to hurt you. I wouldn't do a 5-Hour Energy every 5 hours. But, again, that's right with Red Bull, Monster, and all the rest of the drinks.
All right. Dr. Rick, this is from Catfish. I've had a C6, C7 problem for 30 years, have been living with waking up from a dead sleep with pain, fire down my right arm. Would I be a candidate for surgery? This is from Catfish.
Tell Catfish that he absolutely needs to have a surgery, a decompression, and probably an artificial disc placed in his neck unless there's a contraindication, but I would not be living with that. That's a no-go.
Dr. Rick, I'm going to be following you. When you see that car kind of just, what do they call it, tailing somebody?
Yeah.
You got your tail on. That's going to be me watching you go through the drive-thru.
You want me to get you an extra calls when I'm up there?
Yeah.
When's the last time you've had something really disgusting to eat that really tastes good but not good for you?
Oh, probably in Thanksgiving. I'm sure I ate some bad stuff. I wouldn't go to Carl's, but I mean, I've eaten some, you know, juicy hamburgers and crazy stuff in the past. I just don't do it very much.
Good stuff, Dr. Rick. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right, Dr. Rick Lehman.
I just wondered because you know Woody Allen. Those who can't do teach. Those who can't teach teach Jim. No offense to Bobby Mack, but I wondered, you know, is he just telling all of us, here's what you need to do, and meanwhile, he's like, hold on, I'm at the drive-thru, hold on. Yeah, guys, here's the thing about these fast food. And then he gets us off a mute and goes through and gets himself a double cheeseburger. Although looking at him, I would guess that's not the case.
No, he's a portrait of fitness just like his lovely wife, Dr. Koo. You know, he's married to a surgeon, a plastic surgeon, and their offices are right next to each other. And she does an incredible business, too. She's come out with a face cream that women use to reduce wrinkles, and it's becoming very successful and may be picked up by some national chain, and they could really be in outstanding shape. All right, what else here before we go to break?
You know what? I was thinking about the Stanton face-to-face with the Cardinals and so much of what they're selling, and we did see John Mozeliak say some of it last week to Camel Wax, where he talked about, hey, what St. Louis has to offer. You know, it's a great place to raise a family, which Stanton's like, not really interested in that right now, thanks. Low cost of living. I've been pointing out, I don't think these guys care. They make $300 million. No. I don't think they're too worried about it. But when they say, you ought to want to come to St. Louis, why? What's wrong with St. Louis? I've always wondered if a guy like Stan says, well, and I love Mr. DeWitt, and he's the nicest guy in the world, but he said, well, you don't even live there. You know? I've always wondered if a player wanted to counter with that. They say, oh, it's a great place to live. Why wouldn't you want to be in St. Louis? They could always say to the owner, Well, you don't live there.
You know what I think is the biggest selling point for a guy like Stanton? And I think, well, I don't know if it's the main reason, but I think if it's not the biggest, it's almost the biggest, is who hits around me in the lineup? And when he looks at that fellow King Kong slugger, that's what intrigued him the most. Who does he look at in this card? Oh, I get to hit with Yadier Molina hitting behind me. Come on.
By the way, we got, I don't subscribe to The Athletic, so through sources, I was able to get Ken Rosenthal's story on the Manny Machado.
Through sources? That through what you sources, said? You don't want to out anybody?
Through sources that allows me to read this article for free as opposed to paying for it.
It was paid for at some point.
Yes, at some point. The Orioles' goal in the Machado trade is to acquire two young, controllable starting pitchers. Sources say the O's might not meet that target, but they want to trade him to get immediate value rather than trade him for a lesser return of the non-waiver deadline or simply receive a draft pick compensation when he leaves because they do not expect to re-sign him.
So Flaherty and Weaver?
Controllable start. Do they have? How far along do they have to be? Could you dip down into your single A, double A?
It doesn't say.
As long as they'd be controllable, they may not be big league ready.
Boy, Weaver'd be tough to give up too, but you're getting an elite talent. You have to do it.
Yeah, there'd be a little pain here for the gain of getting a Machado. The problem the Cardinals have right now, don't you think their rotation is sort of thin? Even though they have enough bodies, you have Wainwright, you have Waka, you have Carlos Martinez.
And now Reyes is not going to start until May.
Right,
so
he's
even
not
more
in that
thin.
Mix. So you have Flaherty, okay, you have Weaver from last year.
And you don't
year.
Feel good about Flaherty being a big league starter right now,
not
being
yet.
2018?
No, and you got this guy that ate the lizard. He's around, okay, nice Nicholas. Enough.
By the way, added wrinkle for the Machado in hopes of maybe re-signing him. If you were to trade for him, his agent, Dan Lozano.
Oh, the Albert Pujols. Yeah, that worked out well.
The Machado thing's interesting, but it's great, the baseball buzz. Do you remember an offseason like this where we talked this much about what could be done?
It's almost like an NBA free agency season.
And it's not just us. I mean, every San Francisco, they're going crazy. Oh, we didn't get Otani. We didn't get Stanton. What are we going to do? We're a proud franchise. You know, New York wasn't even on the map for Stanton. And it had Marlins man, in fact, Frank, the one and only Marlins man was on with me and Chuck on Friday. You know the guy that sits behind home plate that wears the orange Marlins jersey, goes to all the sporting events? He's sort of a friend of the show. He was on Friday. And he said, here's the deal, guys. He really wants to go to New York. And we kind of rolled our eyes. We're like, New York? Because it would all have been about L.A. He said, it's no offense to St. Louis. His number one choice is New York City. The Mets aren't interested, so it's got to be the Yankees.
So he scooped Morosi and Rosenthal
I
and
said,
that whole group.
I said
Marlins man.
No offense to Craig Mish or Rosenthal or any of these guys.
Did Craig Mish ever mention the Yankees at all?
Never. Not in any of his percentage tweets. Never were the Yankees.
And we
mentioned.
Propped him up as the inside expert there for so long.
He was fun for a while. We'll always remember our season of Mish, you know?
You're right.
I noticed now he's actually like tweeting at the cat and like he's still, and he thanked everybody in St. Louis for the fun banter. And the one thing he was right on even last summer was he said Stanton's not going to St. Louis. I'm pretty sure he was early in saying that. But Marlins man came on and said, oh, Stanton wants to go to New York. There's no doubt about it. And we were like, eh, we'll see. And boom, it happened. I don't know. I think for the Cardinals, the pressure is on. I mean, John Mozeliak has the chance here to be like Geraldo opening the vault, right? Everybody's watching, and we're waiting for something big. And that's a really dated reference. You know, Pete here is going to have to Google that. First of all, people don't know who Geraldo is, let alone do they know what it means when I say Geraldo in the vault.
How about Geraldo and Bette Midler? Did you read that?
What?
Oh, this is unbelievable.
Where does Frank get this stuff?
This is right in the... this was last week. It became a national story. You can Google it.
Well, are they an item?
No, but Bette Midler tells the story. This was like a 1990s Barbara Walters interview. And she says on camera that Rivera and his producer got her into the bathroom. They went to her house to do some type of interview. And they groped her and grabbed her. And, you know, she says this is right about the time when Geraldo was at his hottest, when he was really big time and stuff. And, she said to Barbara Walters, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but this is what happened. And Barbara Walters says, well, go ahead and tell us. And then she told the story. And now Geraldo is under fire. But, boy, can you go back that long and get fired? This was in the 90s.
Well, I don't think he's working, though, right?
Is he's on Fox News.
Is he
but
still?
I haven't seen him. you know, in a while, in a long, you know,
he's
maybe a
gotta
couple weeks.
Be what early 70s. At
yeah,
this point?
Well, he was a regular contributor. Of course, he right. was a regular contributor when Bill O'Reilly.
Right.
So when O'Reilly lost his program, you don't see like Dennis Miller anymore. You don't see who's our Bernie.
Oh, our Bernard Goldberg.
Bernard Goldberg,
our guy,
who's terrific. Yeah, you like his favorite yeah, line.
I knew you were going to say
give
this.
Your favorite line of.
No, it was from HBO's Real Sports. Bernard Goldberg. And the whole piece was about Monday Night Football, and he just played that music, which they still use. Like last night, sitting at work, I hear it. It's not the same.
No.
You look up, and no offense to Sean McDonough, but it's ESPN. And you're like, dun, 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 dun. You're like, that's not the same. It's got to be Howard Cosell. They played the music, and Bernard Goldberg said, if you don't recognize this music, there's a chance you might be a communist. How old is Pete? How old is Jerry Rivers, I think is his real name.
74. Boy, he looks good for 74, I'll tell you that.
He's tweeted out some pictures of himself looking good. Remember that?
The weird stuff. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
What gets into people's minds? We were saying this off-air earlier, and some of these accusations at the NFL Network. Who thinks, you know what, I'll just go in the shower, I'll bring my camera, and not only am I going to record some of this stuff, I think I'll send to that person I work with. I think they want to see this. I don't understand how that mindset works.
Yeah, it's no longer private anymore, it's public. All right, we'll take a short time out. We'll finish up the program right after this.